Good morning and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. If you'd like to talk to today's pro, just call 433-1433. That's 433-1433.
Good morning. This is Ask the Pro on WLVL. This show is brought to you by Catholic Health of Western New York. And today we highlight Eastern Niagara Hospital right here in Lockport. And our guests this morning are now seated in Studio 1A and ready and raring to go. We welcome back our good friend Ann McCaffrey, who's the president and CEO of Eastern Niagara Hospital. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, you are welcome. We always enjoy a conversation with you. And we have a star in Studio 1A this morning. We mentioned this the last time Dr. Fetterman was with us, and he actually doubles as a rock star. And he doesn't play the drums, but he is in a band. And so we welcome back Dr. Charles Fetterman.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, listen, this is great. We've looked forward to this. The last time, it was so informative, and we really appreciated your insight to, no pun intended, the insight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I wasn't even thinking along those lines. Anyways, just fill us in how the things are going with the band real quick.
Everything's going great. It's busy. A lot of the venues are opening back up, so we're getting a lot more business, a lot more work. We were mentioning before we got started, the band's doing a wedding this weekend, so a lot of people are getting back to normal life. So it's been great. It's been wonderful. The summer's been very busy for us, and we're looking to keep staying busy throughout the winter months, too.
All right. And I forget the band's name.
It's called Double Shot.
Double Shot. That's
yes.
Right. Okay. All right. So enough band talk. Dr. Fetterman, by the way, is an ophthalmologist here in the Lockport area. And Ann McCaffrey, of course, the president and CEO of the hospital. So, Doctor, just before we get into the meat of the conversation, insurance. Can we talk about insurance a little bit? If somebody is not sure whether they have eye coverage, and can they still come to you? Can they call and ask questions? How does that work?
It's a very important question. Something we get in the office all the time because there has been some changes in insurance coverage recently, or at least some of the insurances are starting to let some of the patients feel like maybe they can't come to see me or other ophthalmologists. And what I want to say is that there's a difference between eyeglass coverage and eye care insurance, if you want to say it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the insurance companies will, you know, recommend that you go certain places for your eyeglass to purchase them. But when it comes to health of the eyes, that's where you do want to see an ophthalmologist. And even though you may not think you have eye coverage, if you have dry eyes, if you have cataracts, especially if you have glaucoma and other things like that, you're going to want to see an ophthalmologist. And that goes through your medical insurance, which could be Blue Cross or Independent Health or any of those. So it's always a good idea to call the office, my office, or wherever your eye doctor is, and just make sure that you can still come. But I think the answer is going to be yes, especially if there's a problem. Even something like dry eyes, even headaches can count as a medical diagnosis. So it's always worth contacting your ophthalmologist and you know, finding out if you can be seen, and I think the answer is going to be yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so, Dr. Fetterman, we also found out that you have just recently been appointed the medical director of the Niagara Regional Surgery Center. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was such an honor. It was a privilege and an honor to be asked to take on that role.
So what all does that entail now?
Yeah, I mean, it's new to me, so I'm kind of figuring out or finding my way, but you know, certainly I feel like first and foremost it's to be there for, one, the staff of the surgery center, so the doctors, the nurses, and the staff, and kind of help them if there's any issues. And also, obviously, being there for the patients, too, and trying to make sure that they're getting the best care possible at the surgery center. And then I think in times over the months to come, working with Eastern Niagara Hospital and kind of being a liaison to them, as well as the transition with the Catholic Hospital as well, too, and hoping to make that as seamless as possible and having someone at this facility to to drive the growth and success of the surgery center, which is important to me and I think Ann as well.
433-1433 is the number to call if you'd like to ask a question. We have Dr. Charles Fetterman, the ophthalmologist, and also Ann McCaffrey, CEO and president of Eastern Niagara Hospital. Ann, you were involved with the startup of the surgery center, correct?
Well, it was before my time.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah, I came in 2018. I think it opened in 2013 or 14, I guess. Yeah. So okay. It was a few years before me.
But you've had a hand in moving it forward.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's such an important part of the service delivery for healthcare in this community. So it's really, you know, it's one of the highlights, I think, for our community to know that we have such an efficient and effective surgery center right here, close to home. You don't have to travel far. And to have the high-level physician leadership with Dr. Fetterman, not everyone has a rock star for a physician leader like Eastern Niagara. So We will tout that as much as we can.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, to Dr. Fetterman's point, it is the leadership of the facility that is super important to us to make sure that that all the surgeries are running smoothly, that the physicians are satisfied and getting what they need, that the patients are satisfied, and that it's really a well-oiled machine, which is what it is. So It's really a testament to Dr. Fetterman, who's been there since the inception of the surgery center and was integral in its opening back in 2014. So it was a perfect, it made a lot of sense to us to offer that position to Dr. Fetterman, and he's doing an excellent job.
Well, that's very good to hear. And again, congratulations, doctor, for the promotion. And maybe you could, either one of you, just walk us through. I honestly have not had a situation where I've had to go and visit the surgery center. So let's say somebody has an accident or something happens and they're heading over that way. What's the procedure? What do they do? Obviously, there's an intake process and then they're examined. What if they need further care, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Sure, I can start, and then maybe Dr. Fetterman can follow up.
Yeah.
So all of the surgeries at our surgery center are scheduled surgeries. So these are not emergency surgeries. These are for patients who have an identified issue, they need a procedure or a surgery, and it's scheduled in advance. So they would be seeing Dr. Fetterman or the other surgeons that work out of the surgery center, getting that appointment, and then coming in typically in the morning. And most surgery centers work like ours. We're open Monday through Friday. Our surgeries start, you know, anytime in the morning, and you're home that same day. So I'll defer to Dr. Fetterman in just a moment. But for something like cataract surgery, it doesn't require an overnight stay in the hospital. It can be done quickly and effectively, and you can be home recovering in the comfort of your own home within a matter of hours. So that's really the advantage of a surgery center. The insurance companies really like it as well. You're avoiding the cost of a big hospital stay with that. So the insurance companies like it. Our patients tell us they really like it. You know, I can speak from personal experience. I had a family member who required a procedure at Transit Road. We were in the morning. We were home by noon, and she was able to recover at home quickly and easily. So it's a great advantage for us to have that so close to home in our community. Dr. Fetterman, do you want to share your experiences?
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. You know, this is kind of the future of where medicine and surgery is going in this outpatient setting. We don't really need the larger hospitals for some procedures. Obviously, some do, but like cataracts, like we mentioned, and colonoscopies and other procedures like that, you want to come in, you want to have your procedure, and you want to go home. And Transit Road has done a great job. You know, this is something that, like Ann mentioned, it was a vision that we had going back many, many years, even to my predecessor, Dr. Vasula, which lots of people in the community do remember and know. And she's the one that really started the idea that we could use something like this in this community. And now it's grown to where it is now. And it's wonderful. It's going to keep growing. And the patients absolutely love, you know, not that they don't want to go to a hospital, but it feels different. This outpatient setting, it's very welcoming. We're always getting positive feedback from the patient saying how wonderful the staff is, how easy their visit was, and they were in and out, just like Ann said, and they're very happy with the results.
What are some of the surgery types that are done at the Transit Road site?
Sure. So as Dr. Fetterman indicated, he's doing cataract surgery and different eye surgeries, and I'll defer to him as well. But we also have a gastroenterologist who's doing upper GIs and colonoscopies regularly there. We also have orthopedic surgeons who work out of Transit Road, general surgery, gynecology surgeries. So really a vast array of different surgeries. We also have oral surgeons who've just gotten credentialed with us and are starting to work out of Transit Road as well. So really a multitude of specialties. Dr. Fetterman, do you want to talk about your specific surgeries?
Yeah, no, I agree. There's many, many specialties there. And I think it's growing. We're getting new names and new doctors that are starting to take an interest in the surgery center. For myself, mostly cataract surgeries. That tends to keep me pretty busy, but we have eyelid surgeries that I do, even little lumps and bumps, some laser procedures that are also done there. So quite a few different eye-related surgeries.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about some of these new surgeons. And obviously, they're at a certain level of efficiency and quality. Otherwise, they wouldn't be at this surgical center. So tell us some of the staff, how, you know.
Sure. Yeah, so actually, every physician who works at Transit Road has to be credentialed through the hospital's rigorous credentialing process and have to submit all of their necessary credentials to be able to work at our Transit Road facility. So that's an important, somebody doesn't just sign up, walk in, and start doing it. There is a very official procedure that has to take place, and our medical staff has to approve any new physician coming on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we mentioned, I think last year when COVID started, there was a time period where in Erie County, they were unable to perform elective surgeries based on the high rate of COVID in Erie County at that time. Niagara County did not have the same rate and the same mandate that we could not perform elective surgeries. So there was a period of time where we had elective surgeries and Erie County did not. And because of that, we did have surgeons from Erie County come and request to work out of our Transit Road facility. Some of them stayed for a short time until Erie County reopened, and some have stayed on with us. And so I think it's really a testament to Dr. Fetterman and the team over there that it's a welcoming facility. There was some availability in scheduling time to allow the increase in physicians and surgeons to come on site and on staff, and we've kept some of those on. And I think the other good thing is they're spreading the news to their colleagues in Erie County as well that it's an efficient, well-run surgery center, and to encourage their peers to look at us as an option. What I've also heard from some of the surgeons who've come from Erie County is they have patients in this community in Lockport and Eastern Niagara County who would prefer to stay closer to home if they're having a surgery. So instead of going to Amherst or Buffalo, it's just nicer and more convenient if they can have that procedure right in town close to home.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a great deal of sense. Why would you want to go, you know, halfway across the county when you could have the same procedure handled right in your own neighborhood? So can we talk about the future of the surgery center?
Sure.
Is that possible?
Sure.
And what does the future look like? I'm sorry.
I thought you had a specific question. Sure. So the surgery center is very important to Eastern Niagara and our patients and our community. And it's also equally important to Catholic Health. And they've recognized the services that are there and that it's very well run and an important part of our business. So Catholic Health, a few months back at the beginning of the year, actually purchased Transit Road, the building, from Eastern Niagara Properties. And we're in a lease relationship with them right now for that. But Eastern Niagara continues to operate all of the services, and we're running it. But in about a year and a half, when the new hospital is built and opened, the Catholic Health is building, when that opens, the Transit Road facility will then become a Catholic Health facility. And I know they're very impressed with Dr. Fetterman's leadership, and we really anticipate that the services that are there today will continue under Catholic Health as well. They recognize the need and the importance of the service configuration that we have there, and having those four state-of-the-art, sterile operating rooms right in town are a huge advantage, not only for Eastern Niagara, but for Catholic Health as well.
Mm-hmm. What kind of workload have you seen? We're obviously still dealing very much with COVID-19, and there's been no restrictions for quite a while now on surgeries, correct?
That's
because
right.
of COVID. So are you at a like full tilt level? Is it busy, busy, busy every day? Or is there just a nice flow to, you know, scheduling the surgeries?
We're in a good flow. We're meeting or exceeding our targets. And really, I think the flow is working well. We're not at full capacity, but we're approaching it. We're busy. So it's really, it's nice to see that it's well utilized. And there is a little bit of capacity there for other surgeons who are new and coming on to still be able to get on that schedule when they want to. Dr. Fetterman, do you want to speak about the daily flow?
Yeah, I mean, myself personally, I feel like the amount of cases that I'm doing is pretty close to what I was doing pre-pandemic or pre-COVID. There still are a few patients that are hesitant or have reasons to hold back. But from a cataract surgery point of view and other ophthalmic surgeries that myself and my partner, Dr. Pacelli, are doing, I think we're getting close to our capacity that we were before. Other surgeons, yeah, I agree. I think that they are doing quite a bit of what they were before. I haven't heard anyone saying that their numbers were down too much, and I know Ann kind of keeps track of that and lets us know what we're doing. And I think we're going to continue to grow, as she mentioned, with the association with Catholic Health. We're hopefully going to see more surgeons from that hospital or those hospitals coming over to the community. And I think what you touched on before is very important, is letting the Lockport community and the patients know that there is a place right here in town that they can have their surgeries done. And it would be worth mentioning it to your doctor, saying, you know, where do you do the surgery, or is it possible that I can have it done in Lockport? Because I, to this day, still have patients come to me and say, I didn't realize I could get my cataract done in Lockport.
Wow.
And I say, well, you know, I mean, that's, I take blame for that. I should be more vocal in telling people that. But I think there is some question of where you can go for some of these procedures. And the types and the numbers of procedures are going to continue to grow. So that becomes a very good question, is saying, can I have that done right in town?
433-1433 is the number to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation. We have Ann McCaffrey, the president and CEO of Eastern Niagara Hospital, with us on Ask the Pro this morning. Also, Dr. Charles Fetterman, the ophthalmologist, and he's also been recently named the medical director of the Niagara Regional Surgery Center over on Transit Road here in Lockport. Ann, I wanted to ask you, maybe it's an observation. You seem to have put together a pretty good team.
That was a really important thing to me and our board, to make sure that we have the highest level of physician leadership and administrative leadership that we can to serve our community, and we're thrilled with our leadership.
And just to mention a couple of names, because we've had them on Ask the Pro in the past. Of course, we have this morning Dr. Charles Fetterman. Also, Colin McMahon, Dr. McMahon, who's the chief hospitalist at the hospital. And have you seen Aubrey yet?
I have not. His granddaughter?
Yes.
I have not seen her.
Well,
I've seen her picture.
Okay. We had Dr. McMahon on with us yesterday morning on Wake Up Niagara, and he was babysitting Aubrey. And so she was quite vocal. She made a radio debut with us.
She found her voice.
She found her voice, yeah. So, but Dr. McMahon has been really, really just great. We can throw a question at him, and he's got the answer, and very well versed with the information when we talk about the medical things concerning COVID or the operation at the hospital, as far as, you know, his role as the chief hospitalist. And then also we've had Dr. Slate, the medical director. And so when I say that, it appears that you've put together a really, you know, very good, very healthy team. I think people should be proud of that. People should be comforted to know that they can come to Eastern Niagara Hospital and be well taken care of.
I agree. And in addition to those that you mentioned, we also have Dr. Jennifer Rogers, who's our medical director over the emergency department, and Dr. Amandeep Pal, who's over our addictions unit. So the five of those physicians really are the key to our physician leadership at Eastern Niagara. And we will be doing additional marketing and letting the public see their faces more and get to know them better, because I think it's really important that any patient who is a consumer of healthcare, you want to know that you're going to get a physician who listens, who cares about you, puts your best interest first, and really is going to ensure that you're in a setting where you're going to get the best possible outcome. So that was really the key to us to assembling this group of physician leaders for Eastern Niagara, now and into the future.
So let's talk about the emergency department. A lot of focus has been directed to the emergency department over the last year, couple of years perhaps, and that seems to be a well-oiled machine as well.
It is. It is. And it's busy. And, you know, we have a lot of patients in the Eastern Niagara community who have emergency situations every day and require life-saving treatment in our emergency department. And people listening can rest assured that we have a UBMD physician on staff 24 hours a day right there in our emergency room on East Avenue, ready to deal with whatever issue comes through that door. And the numbers, you know, I know people probably recall during the beginning months of COVID, a lot of people were avoiding emergency rooms because they were afraid that they would get infected. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, as the public has gotten vaccinated, people have come back to emergency rooms. And certainly nobody wants an emergency room visit. But at the same time, if you're suffering from a situation that you feel you need immediate attention, you don't want to avoid putting that off because it can certainly result in a worse outcome. So, you know, one of the things I know that our emergency room physicians have told me is that there is a high level of acuity and sickness in our community, and a lot of times people do put it off a little longer than they should. And if they're not feeling right, you know, waiting too many days can be a little bit of a challenge to get the proper treatment. You want to get that quickly and effectively, and if it ends up being something minor, we'll get you quickly out the door and on your way home. And if it's something that requires, you know, more intervention, we'll address that as well. So I think it's really important that if somebody is feeling really unwell, something doesn't seem right, you should absolutely get to the closest emergency room or urgent care facility.
Mm. And so, Dr. Fetterman, with the Niagara Regional Surgery Center and this situation with the pandemic that we have, things, of course, are heating up again. And are there procedures in place, or let me put this this way, are there policies in place for people who might have hesitations about coming over to the surgery center to have a procedure done? Are they given instructions on how to deal with the protocols?
Yes, yes. And it's kind of evolved as the pandemic, I think, has evolved. Like Ann said in the beginning, procedures were cut back. When we restarted, all patients had to be COVID tested prior to admission to the surgery center. And just recently, it's become that if a patient is fully vaccinated, then they no longer have to be COVID tested at this point, but anyone who's not vaccinated does. So I think they've done a very good job. And even, you know, at intake, monitoring the patient. And I know in my office, we're telling patients, if there's any signs of fever, if you don't feel well, please, we'll reschedule your surgery. So I think it goes both ways. But yes, I do know that the surgery center has done its part to try to make patients feel comfortable and realize that they're in a safe place to have this elective surgery. And was mentioned earlier, you know, this is a place where you're in and out quickly. And I think that helps to alleviate some of their apprehensions too, is to know that you're going to come in, you're going to have your cataract or your scope or whatever. And as soon as that procedure is done and you feel well, you're right back into your car and on your way home.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And again, we have our guest this morning, Ann McCaffrey, President and CEO of Eastern Niagara Hospital, and Dr. Charles Fetterman, ophthalmologist and also the medical director at the Niagara Regional Surgery Center. Give us a call if you'd like to ask a question. We have the experts in-house this morning, and so they'd love to talk to you, 433-1433. Dr. Fetterman, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your practice and about the ophthalmology subject, I guess. Last time, we had a very distinct and clear difference pointed out to us between an ophthalmologist and an optometrist. Knowing that there are some folks listening today that may have missed the last time, can you just sort of give us those, differences?
Sure. Yeah, and I think that is something that people sometimes either don't understand or have some questions about. And the distinction is somewhat to do with the training or the level of education. And I know that the optometrists have extensive training in eye health. And at that point, you know, they focus on prescribing eyeglasses and dealing with some minor eye diseases. But at the level of an ophthalmologist, that requires medical school. So these are physicians who have gone to medical school and chosen to do an additional 4 years of training in eye disease and eye surgery. So I think that, you know, when you're talking about conditions like glaucoma and cataracts and macular degeneration, you know, those are the type of conditions that we spend an extensive amount of time learning to recognize, to diagnose, and to treat. So, you know, both work together. A lot of ophthalmologists have optometrists working in the office, so they can, it can be a team approach for sure, but there is a significant distinction between the two.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody were interested in contacting you directly, is that possible?
Sure. Yeah. Our office phone number, 434-7505. Our address, we're located at 70 Professional Parkway. It's myself as well as Dr. Bocelli, and there's a physician in the office. Both are ophthalmologists, and there's someone there every day of the week, including some evening and Saturday hours as well. So hopefully we're able to accommodate everyone in the community that would like to be seen.
Mm-hmm. So as we move from summer into fall, does the change in the weather affect eyesight? Does it affect the eye care, so to speak?
Sure. It does. You know, every season seems to have certain things that are become more prominent during that season. As we know, spring is often an allergy season, and even now in the fall. But in the winter, the one thing that we see a lot of is an increase in dry eyes and trouble like that. You know, as the furnaces turn on and everything gets colder and the air gets drier, I see a lot more patients dealing with dry eyes and having issues with that, which is something that we can treat with anything from over-the-counter medications to even prescription drops and beyond from there. The other thing that comes to mind, too, is that in the wintertime, we live in Western New York, and we complained about it a lot, but there are some sunny days as well. And so there's a lot of issues with glare and sunlight from the snow and everything like that. So I always kind of encourage my patients to remember that even on a sub-zero day, when it's sunny out, make sure you're wearing your sunglasses and other things to protect your eyes as well, too. So those are some of the things that I think about as the weather changes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We appreciate the information. And back to you, with the plans for the new hospital, and I don't know if there's any new information. The last time you were with us, we talked very, very briefly about it. But things are moving forward, I understand.
They are, yes. Everything is in motion. And as I think we discussed this summer, the New York State Health Department approved the Certificate of Need and all the plans that were submitted for the new hospital. The town board also approved those plans and the site plans. So everything is in motion, working through some of the last approvals to get to the groundbreaking. So we're expecting that probably in early November, and we will keep everyone posted. But it's exciting times for us to have, you know, a brand new hospital in our community, state of the art. It's about a $70 million investment. I'm hard pressed to think about the last time we had a $70 million investment in this part of the county. Mm. So it's really, you know, as we've said before, it's really not looking at healthcare from the past. It's looking at where healthcare is today and into the future, and really designing the most efficient, modern, state-of-the-art hospital for our community. So it's definitely exciting.
One topic that we talk about frequently, but I think it needs to be stressed, and that is that during this process of building the new hospital, Eastern Niagara Hospital over on East Avenue is going to remain open, and it's going to be remain full emergency department and the other services.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's really important for everyone to know. Eastern Niagara Hospital is staying open, fully operational as we are today, as we've been in the past, all the way until the day that new hospital opens. So I think that message has been pretty well received, because we're continuing to see, you know, the same volume and types of patients that we've seen in the past. And I think people understand that. But, you know, knowing that we've got UBMD in the emergency department, Dr. McMahon overseeing the inpatient services, and all the other diagnostics that we've always provided, you know, lab work and imaging and MRI and X-ray, CAT scan, all of those services continue at the main hospital, as well as our addictions unit, and then at the surgery center as we discuss the services there. So all of those services will remain the same. Mm-hmm. For the next 18 months. And then in 18 months, when that new hospital opens, the East Avenue services will be migrating to the new hospital, mm-hmm. and Transit Road will continue as it is. So it'll be a change in location, a change in setting for the hospital, but the services we've discussed at Transit Road will remain the same. There's only one exception, and that is mammography that we have at Transit Road right now. That will move to the new hospital. There will be a women's center services at the new hospital. So we'll have that all working together. So mammography is the only change, which right now is available at Transit Road. It will still be available at Transit Road until that new hospital opens. And then mammography will be part of the women's services at the new hospital.
433-1433 is our number if you'd like to give a call and hop into the conversation here. We're talking to Ann McCaffrey from Eastern Niagara Hospital and Dr. Charles Fetterman, the an ophthalmologist and also the newly appointed medical director of the Niagara Regional Surgery Center. So, Dr. Fetterman, I know this may be a an off-the-wall kind of question, but we've talked to Ann and several others from the hospital about the recovery, the Reflections Recovery Program. And so it has had great success over the years. Is there, when somebody has abused substance, whether it's alcohol or drugs, and they've come through this program at Eastern Niagara, are there physical changes to the body? In other words, is eyesight something that can be affected by the overuse or the abuse of substances?
Yeah, for sure. You know, if you think about it, it's a simple sentence, but I say to my patients all the time that the eyes are just part of the body. And so if you abuse your body, or any disease that affects the body is going to affect the eyes. Specifically, when we're dealing with abuse of certain chemicals, certain drugs, alcohol, things like that, it has an effect on the retina. It has an effect on the optic nerve, which is the cable that connects the eye to the brain. So there are definitely significant effects that can be seen, and they can be quite dramatic if not treated. And sometimes they can get to a point where, unfortunately, they can be permanent and unable to be treated if they go on for too long. So, you know, getting to the root of the problem and stopping that as early as possible is the best way to preserve the health of the eyes and the entire body as well, too. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the Reflections Recovery Program over at the hospital, the last couple of times we talked about that, and it seems to be going well. I mean, even under they're on a separate floor, I understand, right, so that they're kind of separated from others in the hospital.
That's right. They're on the third floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it continues to flourish. It continues to be a healthy program.
It definitely is. And I know you've spoken with Jennifer Berto, who's our program mm-hmm. director, our nurse manager, before, and she takes so much pride and passion in her work to make sure that we're doing the very best we can for each patient who needs addictions recovery treatment. And it's the program is well utilized. We wish it was. You know, it's one of those things you wish you didn't have that need, but unfortunately, there are a great number of people in our community who do suffer from addictions, be it alcohol or drugs or prescription drugs, and we're here to serve them when they need us.
Do you think there's a reason that I don't have the facts in front of me, I don't have the information, but I have heard that Western New York and primarily Niagara County tends to have a higher concentration of people with abusive behaviors. Is there a reason for that, do you think?
Or? You know, I don't know if I can say what the reason is. And I know a few years ago, those numbers were extremely high. And the opioid epidemic was really, really kind of going out of control in Niagara County. Those numbers have come down a little bit, but I think the pandemic also made it worse again for certain people who are cooped up at home and didn't have their typical structure of support and outlets that were healthy daily activities for them. So I think for certain individuals it made it worse, and they were relying back on, drugs and alcohol again, where maybe they had been doing a little bit better. So, you know, it kind of ebbs and flows, and I don't know if I can say what region, you know, has it worse and why, mm-hmm. but we definitely... Niagara County a few years ago was extremely high, and there have been many inroads to try to get those numbers down, and they have come down a little bit, but there's still a great need out there.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Fetterman, how is the eye care business, the ophthalmology business with younger people? In other words, your basic clientele, not only at the surgery center but in your office, do you primarily deal with the older folks? Like, I'm experiencing, you know, getting older, and I notice certain things are happening to my eyesight. But are there issues with younger people?
There are. I mean, you're correct. I think the majority of my patients are of a more mature population, because that's when we see these type of conditions like cataracts, maybe anywhere over 60, like macular degeneration, maybe leaning more towards 70 to 75, seeing those type of conditions. But other, we're a full service practice, meaning we will see, you know, younger patients for sure. And some of those conditions, like glaucoma, I mean, children can be born with glaucoma, or younger people can develop it. And even in your 20s and 30s, you can start to see that. You know, to just mention what glaucoma is, it's a disease of high pressure in the eyes that damages the optic nerve and can eventually lead to blindness. So that's something that screening should start even at younger ages. But for our practice, yes, we do anywhere from younger children, infants, and really little children. We usually will recommend a pediatric ophthalmologist because our facility just isn't equipped to the level to deal with the really young ones. But once they're old enough to read the alphabet on the eye chart, which is probably grade school and above, we're capable of taking care of everything mm-hmm. after that point.
All right. And so, Anne, back to you with some other information about the hospital. You know, things happen every day.
Sure.
And I saw that there was an article in the paper today. So I don't know. We didn't have a chance to really confer on this beforehand. But are you able to?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to talk about it.
All right, good.
So, yeah, there's been discussion about what the future of the hospital building on East Avenue will be. And I'm happy to explain what's occurring with that. So, first of all, let me reassure anyone listening, the hospital will stay fully operational in the hospital building that we're in on East Avenue until the new hospital opens. There is no scenario that will disrupt that. We will stay operational until that new hospital is built. In the meantime, it's important to know that the hospital did incur debt years ago, and to obtain those loans, the hospital took out, to obtain those loans, they had to use the hospital building as collateral to acquire that funding. This was many years ago, but because of the hospital's financial challenges, we were unable to come up with a resolution to settle those bank loans without using that property, the collateral that was initially entered into years ago. So we came up with a settlement agreement with the bank, and the plan is, according to the agreement, that we will begin the marketing in the sale process of the East Avenue facility. No one will move in or buy the bill. You know, there will be no change in our operations until the new hospital opens. But that the marketing process is beginning now, and we will. We have a group from Hunt Real Estate, Gunnar Tron alone, who's our broker, and he is marketing the property and starting to talk to individuals who might be interested in redeveloping the hospital for a future use. So that is happening. And if and when a sale does take place, the funds received from that sale will go to pay that bank debt. So that's the plan with those funds. We're obligated to pay that bank debt that we owe. So we expect, some conversations happening in the future. We don't have any offers on the property right now. We don't know what a future reuse redevelopment plan will look like or who that will be. When we do get more information, we will certainly share that with the community. I've been in contact with city officials, the Niagara County IDA. There will also be a zoning component to this. So if a developer does have a plan to do something at the hospital in the future and redevelop it for another use, that will have to go to the city zoning board for approval because it is in a residential area. So any other reuse, you know, if somebody wants to put apartments in there or do senior living or something like that, it's going to have to go to the town, to the city zoning board for approval. And that process will all have to work together. So there's going to be a lot of layers to this, but our board will have to approve any sale. The zoning board will have to approve the future use. The bank will be approving the terms of that. So there's a lot that will be occurring, but just wanted to let everyone know what that process is. I know I've spoken to some of the neighbors who called me to say, you know, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's too early to say what that reuse will be, but the city will have a say in it through the zoning board. And I know the community will be interested to see what that is. And we are working hard to have a successful resolution and transition for the community. So that it's an important building. It's a big building. We've been there for years and years, and we want to make sure that that transition is, it meets the community needs and is well developed for the future.
And it makes sense that no one really knows until a buyer comes forward and actually does the deal.
Correct.
To know what plans there could. I mean, you've got an assortment of things that could happen to that building, all good things. And so, but
right.
To know for sure, it just depends on who ends up buying the property. And
you're
thank
right.
You. Yeah.
And a lot of people, I've had people say to me, I heard it's going to be this, or I heard it's going to be that. Yeah. And I'm like, well, we don't know until we have an offer. So what you're hearing is not factual because we don't have any offers on the building
right.
yet. But, you know, I mean, we've seen this in other communities where hospitals, you know, older hospitals, you know, plans change and we need more modern facilities. I mean, we saw that in Buffalo with Children's Hospital where the older facility, you know, they built a brand new children's hospital. Services are now in that one. And then there's a redevelopment plan for the older hospital. So it's a similar scenario where, you know, we need to migrate to a newer facility, and it does have the potential for generating new development and new interest on the old hospital site. So.
Mm-hmm. We are talking to Ann McCaffrey, President and CEO of Eastern Niagara Hospital, and also the newly appointed Medical Director of the Niagara Regional Surgery Center and ophthalmologist, Dr. Charles Fetterman. In the time remaining, I wanted to throw a question out to both of you. How are the staffing levels, like on the nursing side of things and the other support staff at both the hospital and at the transit road site?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you brought that up because there's been a lot of discussion in the media right now mm-hmm. about the vaccine mandate. And our staffing is adequate. I need to knock on wood. Our administrative team, our managers, have worked very closely with our phenomenal staff. We have some incredible nurses and dedicated staff throughout the hospital and Transit Road. But the question was really, I think what people are wondering is with the vaccine mandate, what's the impact? Are we going to be short-staffed? I know some of the other hospitals are coming out and saying that it's really going to impact services. We've seen an incredibly high rate of our employees getting vaccinated so that we're not going to see a disruption in any of our services. We've been monitoring it very closely. We had many individuals as of a month ago who still required vaccination, and the vast majority of them have since gotten mm-hmm. vaccinated. So we do have a small number of people that have not been. Fortunately, it's not very many full-time employees. It's mostly part-time individuals or per diem who are not regular employees that we're relying on every day. So certainly we don't want to lose any employees. Mm-hmm. We want every single person to comply with the mandate so that we don't lose any employees. We don't want to lose anyone. But really what we're seeing right now, we're monitoring it very closely. We have a handful of individuals who, at this point, we need to still see if they're going to comply or not. But we do not expect any disruption to the hospital or the surgery center because of the mandate.
I think that's very important to clarify because, you know, we read things, we hear things, a lot of it not true. And, you know, people want to know, you know, how are these decisions going to be affecting if I need to go to the hospital?
Right. And I will tell you, a month ago, I was very concerned that it would have a significant impact. We were monitoring, you know, still, I mean, we had 80%, 85% of our employees vaccinated, which is a high percentage. But when you tally up the number of that remaining 15 or 20%, it's still a number of people who have very important jobs in our hospital for our community. So, you know, we've made a ton of headway. I can't thank our employees enough who stepped up and really, you know the importance of their role in the community and in taking care of their neighbors and really did what they could. But if you would have asked me a month ago, I was concerned, very concerned, and we've made great progress.
Now, the staff for the transit road site is handled through the main hospital?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you're needing staff under Dr. Fetterman, then it's actually the hospital's responsibility to
That's correct.
Address
mm-hmm.
those concerns.
That's
okay.
right.
All right. We are very quickly running out of time this morning, Dr. Fetterman. It's been a real pleasure once again to have you.
Thank you, John.
And good luck this weekend.
Yeah.
Back
to the band.
Can we crash the wedding, baby?
May, yes.
And, Ann, again, it's always a pleasure to have you here on Ask the Pro as well.
Thank you,
And just
John.
To, you know, generally have conversation with you here through the station. And you two have a great rest of the day. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, John.
All righty. This has been Ask the Pro, brought to you by Catholic Health in Western New York, featuring Eastern Niagara Hospital with Ann McCaffrey and Dr. Charles Fetterman. And you have a great day. This is Ask the Pro on WLVL.